Good morning. Good morning. Y'all scared me because I come out of the back room and it was quiet in here. I wasn't ready for that. That's what worried me. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful sunshine. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to stand inside a warm building and look at that beautiful sunshine and snow that's outside. We're thankful, Lord, for the freedom we have to come and worship you, Lord, and praise you and learn and grow. Lord, you are God, Savior, and King, and we love you and we thank you again. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord, for what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, everyone. Good morning and Happy New Year. This is the first Sunday of the year, I believe, so Happy New Year. Reminder, I know that Bonnie's going to do this again, but it doesn't hurt anything. We have classes in the morning that start at 8:45 in the back, and then there will be two classes after church. Are you guys still meeting today with? No, not meeting today. And Experiencing God isn't meeting today. So those classes are going to start next week and the following week. Yeah, they're one right after the other. So if you're interested in that, see me or Martha or Tammy, and we'll be able to help you with that. Prayer cards are in the chair in front of you. Pencils, hopefully, as well. You can fill those out, and the kids will be gathering those up for a little bit. Then we'll take those and lay them on the kneelers up here. And then they're taken and prayed over throughout the week. So just as a reminder for that, and to help all of you who are here visiting with us today, our guests. I feel like I'm forgetting something. They wanted me to start early this morning so you could have two sermons. Good morning again. I don't know if I've ever explained to you all, but I'm going to do a little bit of that now about why I preach the way I do from one whole book, expository versus topical. We could pick a topic and go through it, and I can cherry pick the scriptures, but the Bible tells us that we need to know the whole counsel of God. So if I preach through a book, then I'm not just picking on one person. John, or anybody else. he was just make eye contact. That's why I preach through a book. And we're on 1 Peter, and we're looking at chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 2, chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. I don't know if I said 4 through 10 or not. No, I did say 4 through 8. In my notes, I have 4 through 10, so I must have intended to go farther. I do have a lot of time this morning. We could have a long sermon. I won't do that to you. From the Word, starting at verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying a stone in Zion, a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him shall not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. And we're going to stop right there for this week anyway. The passage, or this passage of Scripture, starts out with the words, or with the word as, which implies something that is ongoing, right? As this takes place, right? Something that's ongoing. Moving forward in Christ is something that, as a Christian, is taken or should be taken for granted. And he is taking it for granted right here. He's assuming that the people he's speaking to are continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of who Jesus is, and they are becoming holy
as he is holy, as God is holy, they're being sanctified, right? A Christian is coming to Christ on a constant basis. It's not going to stop. Or it should never stop. We were talking in class this morning. We're not where and I had a lot of coffee this morning. We're not where we want to be. We're not where we used to be. Yes, thank God we're not where we used to be. So we have to remember that we are constantly to be moving forward in the growth and knowledge of who our Lord and Savior is. Thank you, Mindy. We need to do this on a daily basis. It's not something that just happens. I remember thinking, how in the world am I going to read through all of this and know it like I'm supposed to know it? Maybe I could put it under my pillow and sleep on it, and I could get it by osmosis. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way at all. But you as a Christian are to grow or come to him on a daily basis. And we're to put into action the truth that you have, that they had at the moment. You may have something or read something that has become a part of who you are. You have that truth. And I may have something that's a little bit different. We all grow differently. God's pointing things out to us in the scriptures, things that apply to each of us differently. But it's all the same truth. Understand that. But at the moment, it may be something that he's putting his finger on and saying, Kenny, right here, right here, you need to work on this. And he points it out to us through the scriptures as we grow in the truth that we have. Being a Christian, holy unto the Lord, is like being married. Either you are or you're not. There's no in between. Jesus is the living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. The people spoken of here are not those that are ignorant of Jesus when he talks about them rejecting him, right? He's precious. He's the chosen stone. They're not just ignorant of Jesus. They have knowledge of him, but they have tested and rejected him. The very Savior that they were looking for at that time. How many of us have come to know him and then rejected him? Or how many of those outside the church have come to know about him and have rejected him as their Lord and their Savior? The world's understanding and rejection of Jesus, who he is and what he accomplished, means little to those of us within the kingdom. I mean, they have, and we care, but it doesn't affect who we are or what we're supposed to be. He is our Redeemer, our Savior, our King. God chose him, and he is precious in God's sight as he is in ours because of what he accomplished on the cross. The people outside don't understand that. They don't get it. And maybe they're ignorant of it. And we need to be doing what we're called to do. You see, Jesus was sent to accomplish a task, to provide a way for those who choose to believe. John chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse, very familiar verse, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, or whosoever, depending on your translation, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. It's about believing. In coming to Christ, in believing, we will face opposition from those who reject Christ and from the world in general because they have rejected what we are putting into practice. What we talked about this morning in class. We're to be putting it into practice. What we are living out. What we are putting into action. But that does not mean we should hide who we are. It doesn't mean we should try to blend in. You know what that is? It's unbelief. It's unbelief when we know the truth and refuse to do it. It's a lack of faith and trust in God. And how do we show how much God has done for us in gratitude? How do we show our gratitude if we're not living the life that we've been given in the Lord? That we've been given through the cross. Mike's starting to bother me. That we've been given through the cross. But you see, that does not mean that we need to hide it. Like I said, we've got to step forward in our faith and let the world see who we are. At work, at school, when you're in Walmart. Oh, and here's the hard one. When you're behind the wheel of your car. That doesn't apply to me. Your obedience to the word. Your kindness in the face of persecution. Your love, mercy, and forgiveness speaks to those who do not know Jesus and agitates the demons and their minions. I don't know why this person just doesn't like me. It's not you they don't like. It's the life you're living. You're agitating their demons, their minions. They're in and of the world, right? We've got to overcome the world. Because you are being built upon the chosen foundation, the chief cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. I'm probably going to get ahead of myself. Chief cornerstone, first stone laid. Every other stone touches that or touches one that's touching it. It was the first stone laid. If it was off just a little bit, then the rest of that way was wrong and everything going that way. That building could end up like this. It had to be laid precisely and be the right shape and size. Jesus was the chosen stone of God. God doesn't just stop with the chief cornerstone. He fits each of us in with other stones that are also a little off because none of us is perfect. We're being perfected. But he takes and fits us all together into a spiritual house. He makes us into a dwelling place for the Spirit. That's all of us here together this morning. God's right here in our midst. The Holy Spirit is right here with us. It's not something that we have to pray to happen. He's here. God, being the master builder that he is, laid the first cornerstone, the one deemed unworthy, as I said. He chose it. It was and is his stone. He examined it and pronounced it precious. And you as a Christian, the living stones are placed as well by God within the spiritual house that he is building. You have a purpose and a reason for being here. You are not just an accident. That should thrill you to no end. I'm not just here by happenstance. God called me to this place. He's called each of you to be a part of something bigger than you can be by yourself. You are part of His plan. You have a purpose within and as a part of that building that He is doing. All you have to do is choose to be a part of it. You have to make that choice. You can be the part that you were created to be as you allow God to work with you and in you and through you to accomplish His will. It sounds like, okay, I just show up. No. You have the Word of God. You're supposed to be in it. You're supposed to be a part of the church, a local congregation of His church. Doesn't matter what's over the door. Doesn't matter if you call yourself a church, a part of the Church of God or the Church of Christ or the Nazarenes or the Baptists or whatever. We're all part of one church, God's church. And not only is the church being built up, you as being built up, but you are also as an individual being made to fit and a part of what God's trying to do. He is conforming you, making you, building you through the supernatural work of the Spirit into the image of His Son. We talked about this in the class this morning, Romans 8:28 and 29. All things work to the good of those who love God, right? And if you love God, you're doing what? Being obedient, because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do as I command. In being obedient, in doing what Jesus commands us to do, we are being conformed into the image of His Son, which is Romans 8:29. That being conformed is not always a pleasant process. It isn't. Let's just be honest about it. But when I leave the old behind, when I live the new life that He's given me, it's so much better than the old one. And the process of being conformed is called sanctification, right? And it is the progressive work of God that enables us to work out our salvation and to be what we were created to be. It's that simple. You are to be a holy priesthood. Oh, I'm to be holy. Now I have to be a priest. Yeah. You're to be a holy priesthood. Within the Church of God and many other Protestant fellowships, we as the church believe in the priesthood of all believers. Everyone that's a part of the church is to be a priest. What's a priest do? Well, not necessarily preach, but he goes, he preaches and leads, and what's he lead? People to Jesus. He's the go-between, right? He's the one that talks to them about, that's what we're all supposed to be. It's just talking about the Lord to someone else. It's not preaching from up front. It's just talking about the Lord, sharing what you know and what He has done for you. And He enables you and empowers you to do that. You're his children. You're His people. I know that sometimes we hear the word priest and we think of Catholicism or some of the other different fellowships and traditions that are out there where it's just that person who takes confession, who does this and that. That's the stuff that they do. There's not one of you here that can't baptize. There's not one of you here that can't give communion. I know that I have been doing that, but there's not a reason that you guys can't do that for one another. There's no reason in the world. Where in the Bible does it say just the elected few? It doesn't. You as a Christian are holy unto the Lord, and you are to carry the good news of all that God has done for mankind out into the world. That's what a priest does. You are a holy priesthood. We, being holy because he is holy, are to perform our duties as witnesses and messengers, proclaiming the day of salvation and leading others to Christ. When is the day of salvation?
Today.
Amen. Today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. We live in that day. And yet the church does what? That's right. We sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. Do you know how many times I've asked somebody, well, that's the churches to do that. Raise your hand if you're the church. Raise your hands. You're all the church. You, church, are the go-between. Man, the go-between mankind and God. You lead others to him. You cannot save, but you can lead them to the one who does. And he forgives their sins. But he also gives them eternal life. He empowers them to live a life that they were created to live. The life you and I are witnesses of, or supposed to be, every day. And you, as that holy priesthood, are offering spiritual sacrifices through Jesus the Christ. Oh, what do you mean? What do you mean, Pastor? Spiritual sacrifices are your righteous actions, your obedience to the truth that you have. We've already talked about that. Those actions honor God and are to be offered without expectations on our part. I'm not doing this because I'm going to look for something because I'm a good and righteous person. I'm going to be a good and righteous person because God loves me and I don't want to disappoint him. That should be our motivation, our love and our gratitude for all that God has done for us. But I want to tell you this, because you never hardly ever hear this. But when you do those things that you're called to do, when you walk in obedience out of love, the enemy is going to notice and he's going to come after you. But you know what? I have the armor of God. Go ahead, throw those flaming darts. I can take up the shield of faith, right? I have the sword of the Spirit. We are enabled and empowered to overcome anything the enemy can throw at us. He can't get to you, but you can get to him. There's the difference. You can step into that. Pastor Henry always taught me, or said to me, all of us, that it's like a dog being chained. You can stand outside of that, where that dog can get, or you can step in. And the moment we walk away from the Lord, we're walking right into his territory. And he's going to get you. He's going to get you good. We can do it by speaking words of praise, by correcting or helping your spiritual family member get back where they belong, on the right path, showing love by giving, sharing, or helping your neighbor, singing and praying and surrendering your will in obedience out of love are all acts of worship which the enemy hates. And they are a part of believing. But they are a part of believing. Believing isn't something that I know this. I believe this chair is going to hold my weight. I believe that I could stand on that and change a light bulb. But until I do so, which I have, not necessarily that chair, until I put my butt in it, that's believing, right? In that moment that I put my faith and my trust in that chair, that's believing. Trying to get back to where I need to be. We can also be making those spiritual sacrifices like Romans 12 tells us, where you and I as Christians are to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewal of our minds. And we renew our minds by changing the way we think. And we change the way we think by taking in the Word of God. Comes back to the Word. And then as we get to know the Word of God, we can use it to test so that we can discern what the will of God is. What is good, acceptable, and perfect, according to Romans 12. 1 John 4:1 tells us to test the spirits. Well, Pastor, how do we test the spirits? The Spirit-inspired Word. I remember being in my office and a lady coming in and sitting down in there, and she was having troubles at home, and she said, I really feel that the Spirit is leading me to divorce my husband. I said, really? Let's look at the Word. God hates divorce. Now, there are reasons for it. She was just unhappy with where she was at, And through some counseling and things, they did resolve their issues. But we have to be very careful of making sure that what we're understanding is God's will. And we do that through the Word. We test the spirits, right? I have a litmus test that I use for doctrinal things that are being taught. Now, I'm going to share it with you. If I'm going to use one that I know I'm going to step on toes. Sorry. Once saved, always saved. Who, if that's true, who wins out? If it's not true, if I can live any way I want because once I'm saved, I'm always saved, though I know that's not what it means, but that's what they say and words have meaning. If I can live any way I want to, then who's going to win if I'm wrong? Satan. If you test it the other way, if this makes no difference, if who's going to win if I live my life as if Christ was coming back tomorrow and I live my life as I'm called to live it and doing my best to stay away from sin and keeping myself sin free? How do I stay sin free? When I mess up, where do I go? To the Lord. And what does He do? He forgives me. I don't practice sin. There's a difference. You're not living in it. I don't remember what verse we had this morning that we read that it talked about living in your sin. I'm not living in it. I made a mistake. I that person cut me off in traffic. You know what I'm talking about. The litmus test for me is who wins if this is wrong? Who's going to come out on top? That's my litmus test. That's me. We have the chosen and precious cornerstone that we are all being built on, right? That chosen and precious cornerstone is, of course, Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We're talking about building a household, right? Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You are not done yet. God is still working on you. Amen. Don't let the enemy tell you that you're done. There's no way that he can use me. He's using me. And I'm far from perfect. Don't. You were thinking it really loud. None of us are perfect, but we are being fitted. We are being built into something that we never would have been apart from Christ. Where you will spend eternity will depend on your believing in Jesus. Believing. If you believe in Him, you will not be put to shame. That's what I read, right? Believing, you've heard me say this, believing is putting into action the knowledge you have received by faith. Not the knowledge I have, the knowledge you have received by faith. Those who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He accomplished on the cross will not be disappointed or disgraced when the end comes. And guess what? It's coming. Every one of us is going to face the end. Either the end when Jesus comes back or our end. It's coming. Are you ready? Is the question, right? Are you believing? Have you committed your life by faith in the precious chosen stone that is Jesus? Believing faith causes us to take action or there is no belief. No faith, as James tells us. Faith without action, without works is dead. Dead faith. Ouch. But I attend church every Sunday. I go to the meetings. I sing the worship songs. If you sleep in a garage, are you going to wake up a mechanic? I said that this morning to the class. Dead faith is unbelief. It is a rejection of the chosen stone of God. And for those unbelieving souls, our Savior becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. How many people do you know that are offended by your faith, by the fact that Jesus is our Savior? John 3:36. Hard verse. Whoever believes, that's ongoing, in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God remains on him. It's the very last verse of chapter 3 of John. They chose to be disobedient, to refuse to be obedient to the truth. And in their rejection of God and all that He offers, they go back to what all of mankind was destined for. What does He say here? I don't want to misquote. A stone is stumbling, a rock offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. We're not talking about those who were, there's not nobody that's destined to, we're all destined to do what? Be disobedient. All of us have. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So they're going back to what they were destined for, which is eternal fire, darkness, the gnashing of teeth, and so on. In fact, I had it marked and remembered I didn't, or didn't remember that I did. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting at verse 7, the second part of it. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. Eternal destruction. That is constantly being destroyed. It's not going to be pleasant. Away from the presence of the Lord, no hope. And from the glory of His might. When He comes on the day to be glorified in His saints, that's us, and to be marveled at among all who believed. Past tense. Well, it's present tense. Are your actions and words aligning? Are you walking the talk? Are you believing? That's what it comes down to, right? How often do we even question some of the things that we're taught or told or the way we act ourselves? Am I acting like I believe that Jesus Christ saved me from my sins? Am I acting like that I'm empowered and enabled to rise above whatever's going on around me? Or have I taken the world in and acting like the world and behaving like the world and living like the world? Nobody's saying that you have to go and live in a cave and be a monk. Okay? Just so we're clear. God's asking us to be different, to go against the current of the world, to live lives that glorify and honor Him, to be holy as He is holy. Apart from God, it's an impossibility. But with the empowerment and the presence of the Holy Spirit, there's not one of us that can't live the lives that we're called to live and be the people that we are called to believe or be. We're called to be believing. Isn't it time to fully commit your life to Christ? Is not today the day of salvation? Is now not the appointed time? Today is the first day of the rest of your lives. Are you willing to commit your lives to following Him, to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires, to deny yourselves, pick up your crosses daily, and follow Jesus Christ? It's your choice. Every day, it's your choice. And every day you have to make the choice. Would you stand as the praise team comes? The altars are open. Come and pray. Praise His name. Praise His name. As you go about your week, remember, God loves you. God is with you. God is for you. And you are a witness of His love and mercy and grace. You are a witness of His justice because the price was paid. The life was given. The blood was shed for you, for all of mankind. Walk this world believing. I would remind those of you who are our guests today that there is a lot of food and snacks after every service, and there's stuff out there to drink, and I'm sure Jan will make another pot of coffee if it's needed, so we can look forward to that, and I invite you to stay for that. Would you join me this morning in prayer? Father, we thank You and praise You. You are God, and You are Savior, and You are King, and You are our Redeemer, and Lord, we love You. For You have given Your life for ours. You have paid the price. We are made holy, Lord, because You are holy. Sanctify us, Lord, in Your truth. Your word is truth. Help us, Lord, to be the people You've called us to be through Your enabling and empowering Spirit. In Jesus' name, we thank You for the time of fellowship and for the food. We thank You, Lord, for this day. Amen.